This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires. I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing. Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Happy Saturday. It's weekend time. Dude, this is seven shows in 8 days. This is the end of a long journey for you and I, Mr. Darkins.
Long and mythical journey.
Long, arduous, magical, mystical journey.
We're like the Beatles.
No.
Yes.
I don't think we are. First of all, there's only two of us. Second of all, we're American.
Well,
third, we have no musical talent.
No,
four,
hold on.
It's, I don't know, 60,
Magical Mystery
60
Tour.
Later.
Magical yeah. Mystery Tour. You've heard of that album, right?
Yeah, I know what you're I know what you're referencing, but we're nothing like the Beatles.
So I'm Lennon.
Okay.
You're
Ringo?
No, you're not Ringo.
That's right.
Well, maybe you're Ringo. You kind of look like Ringo.
Hi.
You actually look a bit like Ringo Starr.
Hi, I'm John. And I'm Paul. And I'm George.
I'm Ringo.
I just like to party. He really did, though, dude.
Dude, that he was. They give him a lot of credit, not for his musicianship or his songwriting, but like when they went out, Ringo was apparently the guy that was the guy to party with.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so you got.
He made them more approachable.
You got George Harrison, who's depressed all the time. You got Paul McCartney.
Oh, here comes the sun. What are you talking about? He was just a young kid.
You got Paul McCartney, who was always trying to break creative barriers. He was annoying. And then you got John Lennon, who's, what, 10 years out of starting to experiment with heroin. I mean, he's the only fun guy on there. Huh?
All drugs.
He started getting addicted to heroin in the 70s.
Everybody started getting addicted to heroin in the 70s. Hell, one of our commercials just got addicted to heroin.
It's true.
That's a good one.
Ooh. Yikes.
Anyways, heroin talk.
Hot needle talk on a Saturday morning.
Hi, welcome to Needle Talk. I'm your host.
Let's go to our producer, Will. Producer Will, what's going on in there? Looks like he's nodded off. Whoa! Somebody get the ambulance down here.
All right.
It's been 8 days of us being on the air together straight.
No, it's been seven. This is a seventh
show in
8 days.
This is the eighth day, right?
The seventh show in 8 days. We had Sunday off last week.
Oh.
On Sunday, you rest. I think it's the way it works. So we may not get to any sports. We may not be coherent today. So we will lean heavily on the Better You Today text line, 55305.
When are we coherent?
That's a fair question.
It's kind of a stream of conscious show, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and we've already talked about everything that actually happened this week. So, I mean, really, there's nothing to get to. It's
actually,
usually the nice thing about our show is we get to Saturday and it's like, all right, we've got an entire week of things that we can talk about. We've already talked about everything ad nauseum.
Actually, you know what? There's something we haven't talked about.
Ooh. What's that?
So check this out. I went swimming this morning like I usually do.
You got back into your routine because you didn't have to wake up early and do that stupid morning show.
Got my butt up at 4:50 and went swimming, right?
Good for you.
Now, before this, let me preface the story that for the past couple weeks when I go swimming on Saturdays, there's been a guy who will always see me in there, and he's tried to make friends with me. Now, you don't go to the gym.
How many guys? I've been to gyms before.
You've been to gyms, but sometimes you'll encounter people who will try to be friends with you.
So wait. So you get to the gym at what time? 4:30 in the morning?
No. About 5. Okay, 5:15.
How many people are there?
There's actually a few people there. I'd say 10.
Okay.
And so I get there, and this guy for the past couple of, I would say even months, has been trying to make friends with me. And he'll always call me by my name. I forget his name every single time because I just want to go in there and swim or work out and get out. And today he saw me again as I was walking over to the pool, shirtless. And he says, hey, what's going on?
Wait, you're both shirtless or you're?
Well, I'm shirtless. He just got out of the sauna. He's a bit sweaty.
So everybody's shirtless.
Everyone's shirtless.
Got it.
And I walk past him. He's like, hey, what's going on there, Will? And I was like, oh, not much. And I just kind of like, you know, did what I usually do with everyone and righted him off. I walk by and then I swim and then I go out to my car and he had stuck a note on my car saying, I like to swim for fun, Dave, and then put his number underneath.
So you have a date.
So I got hit on at the pool.
Yeah, you did.
That's a little scary.
Is it?
I have to change clubs now.
Well, here's the thing, though. For weeks, you've been talking about how you need to tighten up your abs.
Yeah.
And you need to start doing your creatine wash. Who are you doing it for, Will? If not for the guys at the gym.
This guy.
This is my whole point. You have a fiance.
Yeah.
You're not going out and picking up chicks.
No. I'm picking up dudes, apparently.
This is what I'm kind of telling you with the old, got to get my abs tight.
Well, look, can we blame him? Can we really blame him? Because I walk out of there. I took a shower before I got in the pool.
Do you wear Speedos, Will?
I do wear Speedos.
There you go.
I got my white yams out. They're glistening from the shower water, you know.
And for the listeners that don't know, Will is the whitest person alive.
I am the whitest person.
He went to Hawaii and got less tan.
Yes. I actually did the reverse to me.
Well, you did the SPF 150.
Yeah.
Which actually whitens your skin.
I went to Hawaii and I wouldn't go to any local places. I just went to Starbucks with my laptop and told everyone I'm writing my novel.
Exactly.
That's how white I am.
Very white.
And so now I can't go back to this gym because this guy is hitting on me. He left a note on my car. You know what? Hold on a second.
Go on a date. See how it feels.
You know what that means, right? He knows when I'm driving. He's watching me drive in.
Oh, yeah.
That's scary.
He's got a thing for you.
Yeah.
Did you ever introduce yourself or he just knows who you are?
No, he just knows me because he asked my name once and I told him what my name was and then I didn't interact with him any further.
You're playing hard to get and he likes it.
I mean, he's not even hot. That's the bad part.
Oh, is that the bad part?
Well, that and I'm
listen, maybe you need to get to know him. You know?
So you think he's going to be the guy that flips me?
He might be. I don't know. Anybody else trying to flip you?
I mean, there's a note on my car. He was in there before me. That means he was sitting in the window from the pool, just breathing on the glass.
I wonder if Will's going to show up today.
Oh,
wait. Is that his Prius? Will's here. Better get glistening. I'm going to jump in the sauna. Then he goes in there, waiting for you to walk out in your Speedo.
I kind of feel like he did.
Yeah, well.
Like it was too good of timing for him.
And what's wrong with that? Is he not a nice guy?
Well, he's fine, but he's not that great looking.
All you care about is looks. You're so superficial. And apparently homophobic.
Not homophobic. I'm just saying I haven't found the right guy yet to, you know, be curious.
Well, a lot of people had a chance to listen to us all week. Some people didn't have the, only tune in on Saturdays. And we've made them a promise over the years that we will try to catch them up on everything that happened in the weeks.
The years?
Yeah. Over the years that we've been doing this show, we've made a promise to them to bring them all the sports news that they may have missed during the week. So for those people that only listen to the Sinner and the Saint to get all their sporting news, we bring them. In case you missed it. I think Will's having a stroke back there. In case you missed it, this week, Johnny Football had his CFL debut, and he threw 4 interceptions in the first half of the Montreal Alouettes game last night. Not as actually as bad as you think it might be if you consider that he threw 1 pick for every practice he had before the start.
Wow.
You realize he only had 4 practices before he played?
Yeah, he looked terrible, though. He looked like he's never played football in his life.
That is not true at all. A lot of people are ripping him for the 4 interceptions, but you need to give him a little more credit for the 2 tackles he made. Did you watch the...
I saw it.
The 1 tackle, he's all the way... He's like 30 yards downfield. He throws a deep interception. He comes down. He comes right in with a tackle. Just move him to DB.
You know what was funny was when he threw one of his picks, it was that he
first of all, the one that was tipped, he made a very good Johnny football move to get free.
Yes.
And then does like the little toss and it tips off the guy's fingertips.
I still blame the tip on him because he put it way out of the receiver's reach. But then there was one.
You would do that.
There was one play where he had dropped back. And I think he had mistaken that it was a play action, and so he goes back and he, you know, goes like this. The player's not even there, and the announcer goes, "Oh, he's in trouble now. He didn't even know that wasn't a play action."
I came in this morning. I can't remember who I was listening to on the radio, but they were breaking down the Johnny football performance.
Was it Rhino and the Pitbull?
It was Earl and the Dog.
Earl and the Dog.
I don't know. I honestly don't know who it was because it was a show I don't listen to, and it was 2 fill-in guys.
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, it's Pitbull and the Snake filling in for Ernie and the Bucket. Like, I'm like, what? I know what's going on. So I had literally no idea who these people are, but they were talking about Johnny Football, and they're going, all right, so Johnny Football had a bad game. He only had the 4 practices. Let's say you give Aaron Rodgers 1 practice. Would he go out and play better? Like, they're taking other quarterbacks and giving them less prep time?
Yes.
And that
he
was
would. Yes.
That was exactly the
answer. Only person I could input into there is Blake Bortles, who wouldn't, who needs a full week of practice to just play okay.
Yeah. Johnny Football did not play okay. In case you missed it this week, the Seattle Mariners made a couple moves at the trade deadline. I'd like to congratulate Cameron Maybin. Instead of being stuck on a Marlins team that wasn't going anywhere, now he gets to play for a Mariners team that's in a free fall.
Yay!
Congratulations.
The Mariners suck again.
They're buying at the trade deadline. Oh, now they're terrible. Awesome. 1.5 games back of it.
Boy, it sure happened all of a sudden, didn't it? They just lost 4 straight, and it was like, season's over.
Not only did they lose 4 straight, but they got passed by the A's. At one time, they had an 11-game lead for that second wildcard spot over the A's. That's more of what it is. Kind of hurts your heart.
Yeah, and I feel like this year, more than any of the others in the past, how long has it been now? Almost 20 years?
15 years since they made a playoff.
Yeah, so I feel like now, this year, more than any other that I can remember, was when the hopes were pretty damn high.
Yeah, it was a fun start to the season. Yeah. Listen, it's not over, but it does not look good right now. We'll get into more of why that is.
It's over. Yeah, it's over.
It's probably over.
It,
mathematically, it's not over yet. That's fair to say. In case you missed it this week, one of my favorite stories is Jim Harbaugh told a player that he should not eat chicken because it's a nervous bird. He also mentioned that you should avoid fusilli because it's an arrogant pasta and Dr. Pepper because it's named for a proctologist.
Way to go.
Which I don't think is actually true. Jim Harbaugh's weird, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I tend to agree with him, though. I like that theory. That's a pretty awesome conspiracy theory that they've injected them with so many hormones and weird things that it made the birds nervous. And then you attribute the same type of characteristics as what you eat.
If you drop back in the pocket and you look nervous because you eat too much chicken as a quarterback in football.
Yeah.
No. I don't think you gain the power of it.
Wouldn't that be sweet? I'd be eating ostrich.
Beating hippo. The hippo that you slayed. In case you missed it this week, Nike has decided to discontinue Jameis Winston's signature shoe, the Nike Force Groper Pro VD.
Sorry, I actually didn't even know that was a joke. I kind of thought that's what they called it.
I was actually looking through the Nike cleats to figure out a name to make fun of. Some of them are pretty vicious sounding names, and I was like, oh, I can just use that name of the shoe, the Malice,
yeah,
and the Stealth, and the Force, and I was like, oh, these all sound like Jameis Winston attributes to begin with.
The Grabber.
Yeah. I went Groper.
But, oh, the Groper.
Yeah, the Nike Force Groper Pro VD.
The Nike Crab-like. Liquor Stretch.
Liquor Stretch. In case you missed it this week, the NFL played the Hall of Fame game to kick off the NFL preseason. It was between Lamar Jackson's Baltimore Ravens and a bunch of guys that will be cut by the Chicago Bears.
Did you see Ryan Nall? That's pretty bad.
Yeah, but he's also playing with the backup Bears O-line.
Yeah, well, and also he is pretty much Toby, like a B minus version of Toby Gerhardt. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought of him when he got into the league. I was like, you know, Toby Gerhardt didn't do great. He's kind of like Toby Gerhardt. I think he's B minus version of Toby Gerhardt.
Or Peyton Hillis. Or
yeah, well, Peyton Hillis had that sweet year.
Yeah, he did. He had the 1 year and then disappeared.
Yeah, he was on the cover of Madden.
Listen, these guys are no Mike Allstott.
No, they're not. And Mike Allstott was the last great how do you describe
Tom Rathman style back?
Yeah, he was the last great movie style running back. You know what I mean? Like the hardworking everyman.
Suk played with him. We talked about Allstott one day. We're sitting here. They're doing the some anniversary of the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. And he's saying Allstott was just not only was he like the baddest football player, he's the nicest dude you could ever met.
I would imagine
and just
that.
Mowed people down.
I think he'd probably drop a nice 24 pack. He would be really cool. I imagine Mike Allstott being a lot of fun to get drunk with because he would get kind of aggressive, like playful aggressive, but not enough to like scare the crap out of you and be like, hey, we got to ditch Mike.
Yeah.
Mike's getting weird and, you know, those women are going over to those police over there. This is not getting good.
Yeah. And finally, in case we can get on this whole thread.
Sure. We could keep going on Mike.
Finally, in case you missed it. President Trump has taken shots at LeBron James on Twitter. The POTUS said on Twitter, LeBron James was just interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. I like Mike. Of course, President Trump likes Michael Jordan better than LeBron. LeBron did that 2010 Hanes commercial with the Hitler mustache. No? I thought you would like that one.
Pretty good.
Okay. Let's start there next. Why is there this insistence on a clash between politics and our sports? It's a sinner and the saint. And it's our show. This is actually our show. Finally, yeah, we're doing our show.
We're on the air.
It's 1080 The Fan. Sympathy unfolds the shell. I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's been a long week. It's been a long week. Well, it's not just the getting up to do the morning show. It's also doing the full... 8-hour, 9-hour job after that. And then we went through the transition with the twins. They're moving out of cribs, so now they just don't go to sleep. Before, it was like you throw them in like their little cage, right, and they can be as unruly as they want to. We're transitioning them into like their little toddler beds.
Well, the force of the throw should shut them up anyway.
Free-range children. So, yeah, it's been an absolutely delightful week for that. All the confluences of all of this.
Sam the Mailman's made a good point about my
new boyfriend.
Homoerotic interaction with the guy at the pool is that you can't blame him for assuming you drive a Prius.
Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, the Prius is a pretty big magnet. It really exerts kind of the muscle that I got as a guy. Like, dudes look at that and they go, he's environmentally conscious and I'm into that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
hot.
Listen, you're there's no question you're a dreamboat. You did offend someone on the Better You Today text line too, 55305. Null is way faster than Toby.
Which is complete BS because I think you put them together and I'm pretty sure
I think people forgot how good Toby Gerhardt was
in
college.
And I think that'll be a close race, but I still think Toby Gerhardt's gonna win that one because he's got more spirit, more adrenaline. Like that's just spirit versus spirit, isn't it? Those two dudes, all they run on is spirit.
Well, listen, does Null get the benefit of being able to run his leg during the Civil War game? Because he always had more spirit and adrenaline.
Yes.
Yeah. It's about as good as he's ever been.
Yeah. Well, come on now. Ryan Null was good. Ryan Null was a good cog.
But he was great in Civil War games. I'm like, his numbers there are astronomical compared to the other games that he played in.
I think how I'll remember Ryan Null is how I'll remember Steven Jackson. Which was, he was a really, really good cog in Beavers football history when things were kind of boring, you know? Like, it was really, really boring for the past 3 years. But Ryan Nall was the one bright spot where, like, I'd watch a game and I'd be like, oh, man, is that dude going to break off a run? And Steven Jackson was that way towards the end of his career at Oregon State, too. Like, at the Las Vegas Bowl, I remember he had a really great game. Like, there were parts to it that were really, really great. But at the end of the day, you were just kind of like, yeah, those were boring seasons.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully you'll get a little something from your Beavs this year. I'm excited to see what they look like when they started. I mean, you can't expect greatness right out of the gate. They're playing Ohio State with or without a coach. It's not going to be a very great, good matchup for the Beavs, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you can't do much worse than you did last year.
No.
So the ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is, in fact, the roof. The
ceiling is the roof.
That's a obscure Michael Jordan reference.
I don't even think it's that obscure. I think people get that.
And I think I know why you're mentioning Michael Jordan.
Because I'm clever?
Because you're clever, and we now have to talk about the President of the United States on this show because he's infiltrated sports.
Yeah, listen, we left him alone. You know, we didn't need to talk about him. We don't need to talk about politics. We don't really need to dive into that. But in the same week that LeBron James has been doing his media rounds to talk about the school for underprivileged children that he opened.
Public school.
And then breaks it up with going to his son's basketball games. This is all LeBron James has been doing, is going to opening a public school, buying all the kids bicycles to make sure they can get to the public school, paying their tuition provided they graduate.
Free uniforms, free transportation within 2 miles, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks, free pantry for families, GEDs and job placement services for parents, and guaranteed tuition to the University of Akron for every student who graduates this school.
Yeah, what an idiot. And then we decide to take shots at him.
Why?
Listen, I get that Twitter is full of trolls. I'm aware of that. One of them is our president. I got caught in a little loop of watching mean tweets, the Jimmy Kimmel thing. It's a delightful little piece of television. Yes. The whole thing is wonderful, and it's a great YouTube clip. They don't take very long to watch. There was four or five of them, and I watched too many. Four or five of them just used Trump tweets. These are all trolls. They don't use any other celebrity tweets, but they can use presidential tweets. It's insane.
Well, and I think it also just kind of puts a spotlight on LeBron James, too, and what incredible work he's done. Now, I can admit, I was a huge LeBron hater early on in his career.
Because he never opened any schools. Well, think about it. In the first, 15 years of his career, he didn't open a single school.
No, and that's, kind of the dark part of his career, if you were to look at it. But when he started, when he was around 18 or 19, for me, it was difficult to separate the fact that he was 18 or 19 years old, because he would do things like refer to himself in the third person,
a chosen one tattoo,
the decision, that whole thing. But when he left for Miami and that really bothered me a lot, but it's only in retrospectively that now I'm a lot older. I look back at that and I go, yeah, dude, he was 18. He was 20, 21 years old. Of course he was doing that stuff. He was immature. But LeBron James has done the thing you would expect him to do the most, which is he's grown. He's completely grown as a person. He's come into immense wealth. He's come into immense influence and fame. And instead of being a complete jerk about it, flaunting it, and completely wasting it and not building a legacy, he builds a mother effing school and gives free tuition to people.
Cleveland doesn't hate him for leaving because he's doing this. They thanked him. The first time he left, they burned jerseys. They did the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he went back to Cleveland because he made a promise to bring a championship to his hometown team. He did that. Now he can do whatever he wants. This chapter in LeBron James' career is all about what he can do with the wealth and with the fame and the influence that he now has. And you have the attention of the entire world when the president jumps on it. And if anything, if the idea for Trump is to knock him down a peg by throwing the little "I like Mike" jab in there at the end, all you're doing is you're giving LeBron James more power and more relevance. So thank you.
Here's the other part of it, too. He's campaigning in Ohio today. Well, why? Why did you do that? They like him. Does he think they don't like him anymore? No, he brought the city their only professional sports title.
You will have a sound clip talking about him leaving.
Yes.
Twice, I guarantee it. You're going to have the president up there bashing him for leaving. I mean, it's just so childish. And it's funny that the idea that I'm really going to get him and say that Mike's better. I think we talk about this a lot with the legacy and the way people talk about, how they're viewed. And you look at LeBron James right now, I don't think he cares what people think of him.
No, not at all.
Absolutely fantastic. And the fact that it doesn't seem that he's opening the school because he cares what people think about him. He's doing it as a legacy thing for a town that he grew up in that needs the help.
Well, and also you kind of look at his decision to go to Los Angeles, and a lot of people came out. I forget what it might have been, Charles Barkley or somebody else, who said that he didn't pick the Lakers, he picked Los Angeles. Or that might have been an unnamed source. But anyway, they're saying that like, oh, he's just going to Los Angeles and he doesn't care about winning anymore. Dude, who cares?
Good.
He's already cemented his spot as a top five player of all time. And by the way, I don't think it's his responsibility to fulfill whatever expectations you have for him. If he wants to live his life like this and go play in Los Angeles and have fun in the last 5 to 6 years of his career, open up schools for people in Ohio and produce movies, dude, good on you.
And he wants his kid to go to high school in Los Angeles.
Yes.
That's what it is. I mean, that's a big part of it. Do whatever you want, LeBron. I like the fact that he's getting under the skin of the president and he's getting these tweets coming out. But yeah, I like Mike Jab at the end, calling LeBron stupid. It's very juvenile. And LeBron, the funny thing is the basketball player is above this.
Can I say this?
The basketball player is above this kind of behavior.
Can I say this, though? It is very obvious when LeBron James wants to look smart because he wears glasses.
Well, he wears, he grabs his purse and he wears suit shorts.
The only thing that was
easy
missing,
to make fun of,
dude. The only thing that was missing from him opening that school was that purse.
Needed his man bag.
How awesome would it have been if he had the man bag on his shoulder while he was making that speech?
It's wonderful.
Like, I want to see more of the man bag, the alligator skin man bag.
Absolutely. Speaking of campaigning in Ohio, Urban Meyer still campaigning for his job at Ohio State,
and we have a poll to get to.
Yeah, let's do both of those things. We'll do it next, but before we get to that, we have to do the news. The state mandated Urban Meyer conversations take place now.
Did you get your time card out?
Get your time card out. Punch it.
Yep.
Talk about the biggest story in sports. Urban Meyer is a liar.
Okay, I'll give you a choice. We can either talk about Urban Meyer or the Patriots giving Tom Brady a giant birthday cake that he can't eat because he's anorexic.
We can do both of those things. We'll do them both here. We've been talking about Urban Meyer all week since we've been filling in for Dusty and Cam, so we've had a chance to kind of talk about it. The one thing that has happened, the only thing that has changed since you and I last talked about it, is Herbs released his statement.
Yes.
He came out and said, well, it wasn't that I was lying at Big Ten Media Day. It's that I wasn't prepared for the question.
Oh, my.
And by question, he may have forgotten that he was asked the same thing 9 times about firing Zach Smith. 9 times he got the question. And yes, he just never really saw it coming back around when he didn't answer it and then pretended that he didn't know what they were talking about, then called them liars for making up the story.
Who thought on Big Ten Media Day, the most national broadcast you can get, for
the day after you fire a wide receivers coach for domestic violence, that it might come up?
I think Brett McMurphy, who's the guy who broke this whole story originally, I think his tweet sums it up perfectly. Let me get this straight. Urban Meyer, in a matter of seconds, can come up with a way to convert a 4th-and-1 in double OT to beat Michigan. Yet, he cannot be, quote unquote, adequately prepared to take questions at Big Ten Media Day.
Yeah, that sounds right. The other thing that's happened since we last talked about this is we've got to hear from the dude that got fired.
Zach Smith.
And boy, does he sound like a scumbag.
And boy, does he sound guilty.
Yeah, well, no. So he's come out and said that he's not.
Yes.
Now, we don't have any visual evidence from our friend Brett McMurphy on that, that he may have done some
of
the things.
Yeah, we have evidence, yeah.
Oh, do we? Oh, what's that?
Yeah, I can go ahead and just pull it up here for you. So right after the interview happened.
So he's done several interviews. He's been on TV. He's been on radio.
Yeah.
Deny. I didn't do anything. She's crazy. I wasn't even there when this supposedly happened.
But this was specifically after the ESPN interview that aired last night.
Yep.
Right after it happened, and Zach Smith said, no, I've completely
denied. Never put my hands on her.
Anything even happened in 2015, right? So then Brett McMurphy then tweeted a screen grab of text message exchanges that were shared with him from Zach Smith's wife, right? This is how it all started.
Sure.
This one reads, and this is Smith's wife, "Think about the past. Think back to the cheating, the lies, and picking me up by my neck, strangling me in Putacana and at our place in April. The abuse got worse because you couldn't stand me catching you in your lies." Zach Smith's response, "I know.
No, it's, oh no!
Oh no, all right.
Because there's multiple exclamation points on it. So
God, would you just quit?
Oh break- no, why do you keep having to bring it up?
Why do you have to bring up that I hit you?
Yeah, exactly. Well, doesn't this seem like kind of the obvious reason she sent that in a text message detailing it is so that she would have the screen grab? And then his response is, I know. Oh no.
From the Better You Today text line 55305, you can't expect him to be prepared for questions on a media day. I mean, the Dirty Reporters, they ambushed him.
They did. They just came out of nowhere, jumping out of the woodwork.
And I think most of all, this is really what's going to cause Urban Meyer to lose his job. Because I genuinely believe he will get fired. And I think it's all going to come back around to the fact that you friggin' lied to everybody. And you did it on national television.
Well, here are the two things. Zach Smith looks worse now that he's in the public eye.
Yeah.
And it takes some of the attention off of Urban Meyer because this guy looks awful.
Yes.
The other thing is Urban Meyer has said that he reported it in 2015. So he'll need to come up. The burden of proof is on Urban Meyer. The way he saves his job is if he can prove that he reported this to the athletic director or the president of the school or the dean or whoever, whatever the chain of authority is. So if Urban Meyer can prove that, he saves his job. Well, Zach Smith looks bad enough.
And I'd flip it on you.
Never work again.
I'd flip it on you that I don't think it's really on Urban Meyer anymore. I think it's on university officials.
Sure.
Because he's saying that he reported it to all the right people. But here's the thing that's been missing out of this whole story. I haven't heard anything from athletic directors, university presidents.
Well, no, we have. Yes, it's their comment has been, we've formed a committee to investigate it. So we'll have to wait until we hear something from
them. Okay, but like, why can't I hear from whoever Urban Meyer's boss is, which I'm assuming is the AD, right?
Because they're far less important than the football coach. And, well, I mean, that's a big part of the story is we give these guys too much power, and then when they make bad decisions, we have to go attack them.
Okay.
Tell me about the birthday cake.
Okay, so Tom Brady got a birthday cake. Are you ready for this? This is a really huge deal because Tom Brady usually doesn't eat birthday cake.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he doesn't eat cake. He's never even eaten a strawberry.
No, he's never had a strawberry. In fact, if he did eat a strawberry, his head would explode.
He smelled one once.
Yeah.
And it was awful.
Like, have you ever seen the movie Big Trouble Little China where that guy explodes?
No, but I can imagine.
Well, that's what would happen to Tom Brady if he ate a strawberry. Now, the New England Patriots organization for Tom Brady's birthday created him a giant birthday cake in the shape of a 12. Let's see here.
Did it have unknown substances like Julian Edelman was taken inside the cake?
Maybe. I mean, everybody got a piece, if that's what you're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets a piece.
I see what you did there. Clever wordplay.
Oh, wait. And then DraftKings actually retweeted him and said, happy birthday to Tom Brady. And they made an avocado cake.
So there is an actual story about Tom Brady this week. There's a new book out that alludes to the fact that he could have taken $1 million fine. All he had to do was admit guilt in the Deflategate case, and he could have avoided the suspension in the long, drawn-out case.
Oh, you're assuming that he doesn't have pride.
Well, no, but this is kind of the assumption. But I'm saying if you're in that position, I mean, he was willing to fight it. Does that make you think that there's more, I don't know, innocence there in his claims that he didn't do anything to those footballs, any of that?
No, he's the most prideful person ever, and he lets pride pretty much blind him from anything. I mean, he kissed his son on the lips on Facebook, and he still admitted that was normal, which is BS. That's weird. Okay,
how old was his son?
What's the age cutoff?
Oh, geez.
Like, I don't mean to make this personal for
kindergarten?
You.
You start going to school.
Yeah.
You stop doing it when you start taking your kids to school, right? You drop them off outside. No more mouth kissing your kids.
What's the age cutoff for you and your daughters for the mouth kiss?
I don't know. It still seems weird to me. I don't do a whole lot of mouth kissing with
the
girls.
You haven't even mouth kissed your daughter?
I have, but it feels weird. Just give me a kiss and let them kiss you.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Weird.
See, and I don't have kids yet, so I can't talk to it, and maybe I'll have a different reaction to it. But I think it kind of harkens back to the you're a creeper kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Tom Brady's a creeper.
Fair enough.
We had a poll.
Yes, let's go to the poll. At Center Saint 1080 on Twitter. How are we doing on the poll?
Okay, here we go. So our poll today was a little bit, it was a little out there. So the inspiration for it, right, was Johnny Football. Johnny Football threw four interceptions in his CFL starting debut.
In the first half.
The first half.
Of course, did you see what Vernon Davis did when he came in the fourth quarter to replace him?
No.
1 for 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we asked, what's worse? Here are our options.
3 yards passing.
At 8%, people said being punched by Tristan Thompson.
Okay.
That's obviously not that bad.
Yeah.
27% of you said pooping your pants during an MLB game. What does that relate to?
Avery Bradley. Not Avery Bradley. I'll have to look up his name. But a baseball player for the Diamondbacks pooped his pants and then had to go out and pitch. Yeah, it's good. Awesome. I'll get his name for you here one second.
30% of you said it was Johnny Football's situation of throwing four interceptions in the first half of a CFL game. And then an overwhelming 35% have said, I really don't want to be Myers Leonard. That's probably the worst thing that you could be is Myers Leonard.
Archie Bradley.
Archie Bradley.
I feel bad for Avery Bradley. I was like, ooh, I didn't mean to do that. Archie Bradley.
Well, now you've put it on Avery Bradley that he's pooped his pants and for some reason went out and played a baseball game.
And he pitched what they call a clean inning.
Hold on. There you go. You deserve that one.
I appreciate that. I mean, we used that joke when we reported on the story, so it's not like it's a new joke. Had it in the hopper.
Overwhelmingly.
The worst thing in sports
is
to be Myers Leonard.
Being Myers Leonard, which it really wouldn't be that bad if it was just the fact that you were publicly known as a waste.
Yeah, and I think that Myers Leonard is a stand-in for you're a huge disappointment. Isn't it? I mean, we could have just be a huge disappointment, but yeah. I think Myers Leonard works as a stand-in for that.
I almost feel like Myers Leonard is a mirror. That, like, he's a mirror for all of the disappointments we've had in life, each one of us.
Yeah.
And you just kind of look at it sometimes and you go, God, that's the worst part of me.
Well, and it's also the thing that, because you have a huge man crush on the physique of Myers Leonard.
Yeah, he's hot.
And you look at Myers Leonard and you go, oh, I should have been so much more. Yeah. All the things. Look how much potential I had. Look how good I could have been. But then I ended up being a huge...
Well, and it's disappointing, too, because if that guy can have that body, usually you'd assume that you could be pretty successful. And so it's disappointing now that, like, okay, even if I do get a body like that, it doesn't mean I'm going to be really successful. He has made a lot of money.
If you were at the gym...
Yeah.
And you saw Myers Leonard pull up in a Prius...
Okay.
You met him at the swimming pool, but you didn't ever really have a chance to talk to him because he kind of dismisses of you.
Sure.
Would you leave your name and number in his windshield?
And say that I like to swim, too.
I like to swim for fun.
Yeah. All right. I like to swim for fun. Yeah. It's kind of messing with me.
It's
seriously, because I have to go back to that club. I love that club. That 24-hour fitness is really nice.
Good versus evil is next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let the sinner and the saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's my favorite thing to do is prove doubters wrong. So I'm definitely excited. I love the team that we have coming back. As you said, with the doubters saying new faces, without this guy, without that guy, how do we do it? It'll be fun just getting out there on Sunday and proving more.
That was yogurt-slinging tough guy Dak Prescott. He's talking about proving an abstract group of people that may or may not exist wrong. He was in the news this week for another reason. Prescott said it was not the right time or place for NFL players to kneel in protest during the national anthem. In a completely unrelated story, Cowboys owner and man whose eyes are too far apart, Jerry Jones, was ordered by the NFL to refrain from speaking to anyone about the kneeling controversy. Do you believe that Jerry may be using Dak as a mouthpiece for the public?
No, because I don't think he's that clever. I think Jerry Jones, if he wants to say something, he'll just go out and say it, gag order or not. I think, like, he's turning into Al Davis, right? We're just waiting for him to go to the costume change. Al Davis went with a tracksuit. We're waiting for the Stetson hat on Jerry Jones and then, like, the full-on Western gear.
Well, the other part of it, too, is that Al Davis's kids were kind of crazy. I don't know any of his Jerry Jones.
Stephen Jones is part of it. He's like, he's been out talking about this stuff too. He's one of the presidents. I don't know that they're crazy, but obviously, as you would expect, they're Dallas kids and they're nice and confident.
Yeah, we don't take anything from no one.
Yeah, there's very much that vibe. But yeah, no, I don't think Jerry Jones is subtle enough to use somebody to talk for him.
Daddy hit the oil and then we get a job on the football team.
That's right.
We have to collectively look at our position players because I've spoken about, you know, how we feel about the pitching. But on the other side of the ball, the areas where we feel comfortable heading into 19 and the areas where we need to improve. And that's what we're going to be watching over the next 2 months.
That was a man who you desperately attempt to avoid speaking with at your wife's Christmas party, John Rico, but you probably know him as the assistant general manager of the New York Mets. Now, I could go into a deep analysis of why the Mets suck, but losing 25-4 to the Nationals team that looks to have collectively drank 3 highballs before each game, that should be enough for you. It all culminated with shortstop Jose Reyes pitching during the 8th inning of that loss. Would you say that this game is bad for baseball, this game in particular?
No, because it came on the heels of the trade deadline where we thought Bryce Harper was going to disappear and the Nationals were going to give up on it. I mean, the Mets are bad. You're supposed to beat bad teams. You're not supposed to beat them by, what was it, 19 or 21 that they beat them by?
25.
They did set a record. They were up 19-0 in the 5th inning, which was a record that dates back to 1870, the last time a team did it. It gets people talking about baseball that don't normally talk about baseball. That's always a good thing. It's the all press. It's good press kind of thing. And it had one of the biggest stars in baseball, Bryce Harper, at the center of it.
Who knew that threatening to trade a guy and kind of we're going to do it, we're not going to do it kind of talk would actually inspire your team to start winning some games?
Baseball is an amazing thing. People forget how much momentum there is when you play games almost every day. You get rolling and crazy things can happen. I mean, just look at the A's and the Mariners going 2 different directions.
They're getting an exclusive sponsorship deal, Bob. So they are the official gaming partner of the NBA. No one else can get that. They are getting data rights. That is for in-game, live in-game, which is a niche product here in the U.S. where you can bet live in-game. They are getting these direct data feeds from the NBA. Maybe there's a 6 to 8 second delay from third parties. They're going to trump that up as you are getting the unique stats from the NBA.
Just so you, if you weren't clear, it is in-game.
In-game betting.
Yeah, in-game betting, if you didn't know that.
They're going to use every piece of modern technology that they have to make this
in-game betting.
In-game betting.
That was human being Darren Rovell. He's talking about the big sports sponsorship that was created this past week. The NBA became the first major sports league to enter a partnership with a major gaming business, announcing Tuesday that MGM Resorts International will be the league's official gaming partner. Here's the interesting part, though. MGM Resorts will use official NBA and WNBA data and branding on a non-exclusive basis. Do you think there's room for corruption with something like this?
No, I think we kind of talked about this when we talked about alcohol going into Autzen Stadium or Research Stadium. I think anytime you can have more oversight and you know, the books are there for everybody to look at, you're going to have less corruption. I mean, right now there's, what, $1 billion made in illegal wagers across the United States every year. This is going to be good. MGM has already been dealing with, you know, working with the governments in places like Atlantic City and in Las Vegas, in Tahoe. It's not new to them to have gaming oversight. It'll be new for the NBA, but having a partner like the MGM, I think, legitimizes a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the money bankroll.
Yeah, well, if you do things by the book, you get to keep the money that you make versus doing it in the shadows where somebody can catch you.
Over under 1 month before the mob gets involved.
The mob's already involved. What do you mean?
Las Vegas.
What are we talking about? Yeah, the mob helped build that place.
Time for my favorite story of the week. This one comes from Florida.
Oh, yay.
It's a Florida man story. You ready for this one?
I love Florida man stories.
Okay, here is the slug, the headline. A Florida man didn't know he was stabbed on a downtown street until he saw the blood.
Okay.
A Key West man was stabbed in the neck and back Wednesday night by his ex-girlfriend's friend. David James Lola, 44, listed as a tour guide in Key West, I'm sure an incredible job, was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, aggravated battery, and blah, 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 blah. He was also charged with misdemeanor marijuana possession. Who would have known a guy who stabs people also has weed on him?
Yeah.
I
would have thought coke for sure.
Yeah, well, that's burying the lead, isn't it?
It's a stabbier drug, I'm just saying.
Police said the victim, Robert Phillips, told them he was arguing with Lola outside some place over a woman. Phillips called his girlfriend. He walked away. And then eventually the man stabbed him twice. And he just walked away from the situation. And it was only 30 minutes later that he goes, "Oh, I've been stabbed."
Must not have been much of a knife.
Either that or who's the guy who was really doing the coke is what you would say.
Yes, yes.
Because I would assume the pain would not.
I'm guessing there were drugs involved with the not knowing you were stabbed and the being in Key West.
Yes.
Yeah, those two things kind of give me indications.
That,
yeah.
Yeah.
You ever been stabbed?
No, I haven't.
That seems unpleasant.
Well, and so we always talked about that one thing. You remember that one conversation we had that was, if you could be in a plane crash and survive it, would you do it?
Yeah, if you knew you were going to survive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because when else, other than a plane crash in the mountains, are you really allowed to go for the cannibalism?
So would you do the same thing with stabbing? If you knew you could get stabbed a bunch and then survive it?
Stabbed a bunch?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, that seems like less cool of a story than the plane crash. Like, if I'm choosing, if we're playing the would you rather survive a plane crash or survive a stabbing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking the plane crash.
Well, I guess it would depend on what the, what the situation is with the stabbing.
Yeah, now, do I get stabbed with a pocket knife or like the broken off end of a pool cue? Those are two different stabbings.
Like, if I'm getting involved in a bar fight, like a 1980s Patrick Swayze bar fight, and I get stabbed a bunch and everybody sees how dope I am, that I get stabbed and I'm good.
Yeah.
I might take that one.
But I think the idea was we walked away clean from the plane crash.
Yeah.
Like, you're all good.
Well, it's exhilarating.
Sure. You get one of those water lands, you can hang out in a raft for a while. Rafts are fun.
The helicopter's flying over and you're just laying out. Hey, guys.
All right. If you haven't been following baseball, there are two stories that illustrate why the Mariners are going one direction and the A's are going another direction. We'll get to those. We've also got some old timers that are coming in to tell us about their 35th anniversary of their fantasy football league. This will be kind of a prelude to you and I setting up our fantasy football leagues for Dirt and Sprague's party that's going to be coming up on the 22nd of August. We'll be drafting with listeners again.
Yep.
So we'll talk to these guys. We'll get some insight on how we can win our fantasy football leagues and more.
And the league name, again, is Blair Walsh's Love Child.
That's your team's league.
I thought they were going to name the league that.
Is that what it is? Oh, I don't. I think we get our own leagues.
Oh.
I get a league. You get a league.
Why can't we
Everybody gets a league.
Why can't we do a league together?
I don't know. That's all hour two, and we will do it next. We'll figure out what the name is. Why can't we do it together? First, I have to mention Good vs. Evil brought to you by our friends at 808, the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 2454 East Burnside, or 52nd and Woodstock. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.